This podcast is brought to you by Lightspeed Zulu. Change your mind. And by XMWX Weather. It's as vital as vision. So have you changed your mind about who has the world's best headset? Come by our tent outside Hangar B and see why Zulu's comfort, sound quality, and A&R is better than anything else you've ever tried. It also has Bluetooth connectivity and works with either battery or panel power. There's also a helicopter model. No other headset delivers the complete Zulu package.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb at AirVenture Oshkosh with Glenn Martin, developer of the Martin Jetpack. Made a major splash here last year and is just kind of one of the people walking around the grounds this year. Glenn, what's been happening this year?
Yeah, well, Russ, we had an amazing year last year, as you know, and it shocked us all. I think I'm still half in shock over it. The response to the Jetpack was fantastic. We went back to New Zealand and spent a few weeks sort of recovering, and then we sort of went through all our notes and said, well, you know, there's an old saying, once your product goes out into the marketplace, it's no longer your own. And there were two or three things that we took away from people coming. First of all, people want it to be a lot easier to learn to fly. I said last year that I thought it was going to take about 15 hours to get competent in the aircraft. For some people, that was a good number, but for a lot of particularly non-aviation people, they felt that was far too long. So we've sat down with our engineers and said, well, if we can build the world's best jetpack, you know, I'm sure we can build a new training system. As I'm sure you're aware, that your first flight in a jetpack is also your first solo, so that's a little bit of a task there. So we look back at what NASA had done with the space program and realized they'd done a lot of simulation and things like that. So we'll be building a range of three simulators this year. We've converted the aircraft from mechanical flight controls to electronic flight controls, so it's now all fly-by-wire. And that's made about a 20-fold decrease in the amount of time it takes to learn to be, you know, for instance, say, hover. Most of my friends who learned to fly helicopters, you know, say it takes about 10 hours to learn to be competent to hover in a helicopter. We're now getting people in who, with no flight experience, who get competent in about 45 minutes. So we think we've made a significant step up on that. And sort of coming out of that, the other thing that a lot of people wanted was, well, when can I have a go? Now, you may be aware that New Zealand's sort of the home of bungee jumping and jet boating, and we have sort of an opportunity in New Zealand where people can go and do that sort of thing. So we're starting a new business early next year called the Jetpack Experience, where people can come along and do that 45 minutes training, and at the end of that, they'll be able to actually free fly a jetpack. And we've had literally thousands of people saying, particularly people our age, Russ, saying that, you know, they'd really want to fly a jetpack. You know, it's on their bucket list. One day they want to do that, so we're going to give them that opportunity early next year, and then hopefully we'll be back here at AirVenture 2010 with a full team.
Okay, how many orders do you have, and are they sticking?
Yeah, they're sticking really well. We've now, you know, as you know, I was the inventor and the guy of everything, and now we've expanded the company. We've got a chief executive and a board, and I'm now the chief technical officer, and I keep on getting told, no, that's commercially sensitive. But we're very happy with our orders. To give you sort of an indication, I've just employed three engineers, and their job is to design a factory that can make up to 500 a year. We think by the end of the year we'll be able to announce that we're into three figures. We're negotiating with some large commercial customers at the moment, and that was a surprise to me. You know, I thought that all the orders would come from aviation fans like I am, and we've got a lot of those, but mainly actually it's commercial guys who see a practical use for it, and governmental departments who see some practical use for it as well. So that's been a bit of a surprise. We're very happy where we are on that.
Okay, where are you, besides the fly-by-wire development, where are you on the rest of the development, engine, longevity, TBO, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've said that, you know, we've spent the year working on our abilities, you know, usability, flyability, coolability, reliability, survivability, and we've got three aircraft now in the flight test program. We keep building ours. Like everybody, we find things wrong, we redesign them, fix them, and carry on. So we've certainly increased the reliability. It's been about 9 months since we've had what I call an oopsie, meaning there was something that happened to the aircraft that we had to land it immediately. So we've now, since that time, I think we've got about 1,500 flights since that incident, and we're building confidence ourselves, and you know, as the development goes on, I think it's going to get better. And the aircraft's getting a better cooling system. Our target is to be able to fly a 250-pound person like me on a on a 100-degree day, and we're not quite there yet, but we're getting very close.
Okay, well, when you started this adventure, you probably had some thoughts in mind on how it was going to turn out. What have been the surprises along the way, and where is it headed from here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted it to be, you know, a jet ski or a snowmobile, a recreational toy for probably myself and a few select friends. I daydreamed about coming to AirVenture, as most aviators from the other side of the world do, and I was hoping that we would come here, sell four or five, go back to New Zealand. I'd spend a year building them, deliver those, and build up the company slowly like that. But the reception was beyond even our wildest dreams last year. And the number of people that came up to us in the booth and said, you know, I've got a business opportunity. That's why we've had to employ some more management staff. I think we walked away with about 40 distinct business opportunities. And as everybody will know, you know, you can't do the whole 40. You have to decide which ones you're going to do first. So it's been far bigger and more exciting than I ever imagined.
Where do you see it 5 years from now?
I think it will be, you know, a little bit like the LSA thing. I think, you know, the LSA thing's going incredibly well, all thanks to the EAA, of course. And now the LSA thing's become so common, there's a great mall there. I'd like to see in 5 years' time a personal aircraft mall with Martin jetpacks and Bell rocket belts and Carter personal air vehicles and whoever else is going to come into the market. And people will have a choice of something even smaller than an LSA, all probably VTOL. Maybe some of them, by the looks of wandering around here, will be electric. So there's some exciting things happening in the industry, and I'm just delighted to be part of it.
Well, thanks very much for spending some time with us today. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from AirVenture Oshkosh.
XM WX satellite weather is as vital as vision. Never fly blind again when you add XM WX satellite weather to your onboard electronic suite. Come see what the latest XM WX satellite weather has to offer at EAA AirVenture 2009 in Hangar C.